So now we move into chapter 8, the first two verses. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged the fountain also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. After the flood prevailed for 150 days, God remembered Noah and the animals in the ark. This does not mean that God had ever forgotten them, but the term is a Hebrew figure, and it means that God began to act on their behalf. So God was now ready to start the people and the animals on the ark on their way to the new life they would have in the new world. Three actions were taken by God at this time. He caused a wind to pass over the earth. He stopped the fountains of the deep from further eruptions. He also stopped the windows of heaven from further downpours. Both the fountains of the deep and the heavens were practically empty of water by this time. Let's look more closely at the statement about the wind passing over the earth. The word here for wind is the word ruach, R-U-A-C-H, and so can be translated either wind or spirit, depending on its context. Actually, it can be translated numerous different ways, but its fundamental meaning is like invisible force. It is possible that the energizing force of God's Spirit is intended here. This is very similar to God's work on the first day of creation. There in Genesis 1 verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so, now again, with the waters covering the earth as in the beginning, the earth was without shape or inhabitants, so God once again exerted his creative power to separate the land and the waters. Genesis 1:9 says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. However, we cannot be sure that this is the literal meaning of this passage, and most translators believe that the context here suggests an actual wind, God using a natural force, providentially, to accomplish his purpose. We earlier discussed the fact that the uniform temperatures of the world before the flood would have prevented strong winds. But now, with the vapor canopy gone, sharp temperature differentials would have been established between the equator and the poles, and the great movements of the air would now begin. These great movements of air would be influenced by the Earth's rotation so that the present complex systems of atmospheric circulation would come into being. The early phases of these great air movements would probably have been quite violent, with nothing but an unlimited ocean and no land masses to slow the velocity or direction of the wind. These winds would generate tremendous waves and currents, and the vast quantities of water would be evaporated, especially in the regions along the equator. However, wind, waves, and evaporation could hardly cause the great lowering of the water level. Unless, of course, there was some supernatural movement of waters into the outer space by superviolent winds. Yet, it seems that even without supernatural action on the part of God, that there was a drastic rearrangement of the physical features of the land masses. With the continental land masses rising above the waters, and as the waters drained off the rising land masses, they formed the oceans, which settled into the deepening and widening basins below the continental land formations. The Bible seems to describe this as the very thing which happened. The 104th Psalm tells of the creation and of the flood, and the first five verses tell of the creation. But verses 6 through 9 of this 104th Psalm tell of the flood. So I'd like to read these verses, Psalm 104, verses 6 through 9, and I'm reading from an American translation. Thou didst cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood upon the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the sound of thy thunder they fled in terror. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou didst set a limit which they should not cross over, so that they should not again cover the earth. This psalm talks about the earth and the mountains being covered with water, verses 6, how these waters hasted away at the rebuke and the voice of the thunder of God, verse 7, how the mountains rose and the valley sank to the place God had founded for them, verse 8. How God had arranged for the water to never again cover the earth, verse 9. This ninth verse is also an allusion to the covenant God made with Noah, in which he promises that neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth, Genesis 9:11. During the flood, the surface of the earth underwent a tremendous change. The water, wind, earthquakes, and erupting volcanoes would have had unimaginable power. Some parts of the earth would sink to great depths as the subterranean spaces collapsed. This could be the thousands of square miles of space, which we now know as the floors of the great oceans. Other parts of the earth would rise as huge mountains, with the spaces between them forming the great plains, valleys, and hills of the continents. These great changes were happening as the waters covered the earth, prevailing for 150 days. As the waters began to recede, they were simply flowing from the high places to the lower places, which were slowly forming as the mountains rose and the lower places sank. It took about 6 weeks for this vast amount of water to drain from the high places to the low places, for the mountains and continents to be uncovered, while the great seas formed in the lower areas. Many different processes were in action during this time to bring about the changes which occurred on the earth. And we, in our finite wisdom and knowledge, cannot know all of the processes which were at work during this time. There was tremendous release of heat energy, with erosion of the pre-flood mountains, and the depositing of great amounts of material which had been dislodged and moved by the force of the water. Sedimentary strata of various kinds of rock were deposited at various levels and depths of the earth's crust, including not only rocks but bones of animals, the great amount of vegetation being buried to form the great coal beds over much of the world, and the huge masses of fish being buried to form the great oil reserves found in such great quantities in many places in the earth. It truly was a new heaven and a new earth, for the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, according to 1 Peter 3 and 6. We must bring our lesson to a close at that point. Lord willing, next time we'll begin with the third verse of the 8th chapter of Genesis. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.